Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion.
Or your first big lightning strike.
There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents.
Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I like sucking.
Legit bad podcast.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Where's your home?
Well, hey there, welcome back to Legit Bat. I'm Joe. Jen is with me.
Hello.
Yes.
I always have to get a different button for you every time.
So who is gay?
My shirt tonight is brought to you by Murph of Tub Turkey Podcast. Thanks, buddy. It was an unintentional gift, but I love it anyway. For the audio listeners, it just says go away, and it couldn't fit me better. I forgot to mention on the last show, our favorite Czech listener, Hedvika, that you hear at the end of every show, has started her own show on YouTube called Hedvika Czech Talks. So go check that out if you can understand Czech, which I cannot. A lot of what she does talk about is in English, but I told her I'd put out a thing for that. Also check out Fox & Sons Coffee at foxandsons.com, promo code Boner.
Boner.
And you can get a discount with that. Is there more ado? Did we have more ado?
Juan's face when you did that.
What?
He was like, Jesus.
Is this what it feels like to be fun. A schizophrenic, dude?
Yeah, pretty much. We have fun.
The demons tell me boner all the time.
Boner.
Balls.
Also balls. You can't leave that out. Yeah, I think that's about it for the ado at the beginning here. But we've had him on before. He's a champion in podcasting and has been doing it longer than us, actually, by about a year. Juan Ayala from the One on One podcast. And there we go. And he was just recently on over at Greg Carwood's show on the Higher Side Chat. So go check that out if you want to hear more about Homunculus. The funny thing is, I asked in our Telegram group, just like a half hour ago, what people wanted to talk about tonight with you or hear you talk about. And we had a couple entries. One person, the first guy said, Breeze King said, don't get him started on Homunculus. I already know that. Last time you were on, I think we talked about CERN or something. And I don't remember the time before that, but
I think we did talk about Homunculus, didn't we? We did.
We might have the first time. Maybe it was the first time.
I'm sure
time.
It got brought up at some point.
But we talked, yeah. We did a CERN episode with you too. And that was one of my favorites. Mike, though, in Telegram says, how about alchemical architecture and liminal spaces? Do you know anything about that?
I do, yes, indeed.
Tell me what it is first, because I don't even know what the fuck he's talking about.
So, I think we've done two episodes so far together, and I think we did the CERN one first, and I think we got together again with, what's the other guy's name? I forget his name. He was there, too.
Was it Brandon from Expanding Reality, maybe?
No, your other host.
Ben.
Ben. He was there.
Sure
Yeah, okay. So anyways, if we have or haven't, who cares, right? Here it is again. So the whole alchemical architecture, liminal spaces, you know, the thing about, I think, the reason I'm in this whole thing is because I'm a skeptic, right? I read about this shit. I read about the esoteric. I read about the occult. Part of me believes it's fake and gay. Part of me wants to believe it, right? I still don't know the truth. And I've looked into this stuff for hours upon hours upon hours, and I still can't tell you. Because if you really think about it, for example, I saw this short today or yesterday, whatever. It was this dude who goes magnet fishing, right? And he threw out the magnet, and he pulled up a laptop that was saran wrapped in like a black bag, and it had bricks duct taped around the laptop, right? he posted that clip, and apparently the FBI came around, and they took the laptop, right? And they took the, because if you have a laptop wrapped in with a brick on the top, at the bottom, it looked like it was burned up, thrown in a plastic bag at the bottom of some river, somebody probably doesn't want you to find whatever's on that laptop, right?
So you'd think if they didn't want you to find what's on it, they'd do something more than that and make sure it's waterproof, you know?
You'd think, right? Point being, they're trying to hide some sort of information, some real information that would probably cost them their lives or jail time or whatever it is. So in my opinion, when it comes to the occult, you have a lot of like the Faustian pact where it's like, oh, I made a deal with the devil. I can summon Cthulhu or whatever penis monster I want to think about, right? If you go to the FBI or the CIA with that information, they're not going to give a fuck if you can summon Cthulhu. Now, if you go to the FBI with, hey, I have tons and tons of hours of video of ex-politician, whatever, doing some questionable things with somebody of questionable age, whatever it is.
Or with a goat.
Or with a goat or whatever, you'd probably get put on some list because that's the true, real occult and dangerous information, blackmail. So when it comes to the occult and a lot of people talking about the things that they do, again, I'm not a practicing occultist or magician or anything, so whatever. But I just kind of think it doesn't work, right? So again, I'm in this thing. So what I'm about to talk about is from not 100% me believing it, but kind of maybe, right? So
The thing you always hear, though, is that it doesn't matter if you believe it or not because these people do. And I'm not convinced of that either. I don't know it. Exactly. The elusive they, probably Jews. Yeah, but I don't know if I really believe that either. And it's funny that you say it like that because it seems like the more that we look into a lot of these things, the more kind of disillusioned you get with it.
100%.
And you're just kind of like, not bored by it, but almost where it's like, okay, and we've talked about it before, but it's almost the nothing ever happens camp where it's like,
exactly.
It seems like we're almost on the verge of finding this out and we just get blue balled to shit. And then we never really find out the real thing. And you get all these books on magic or all these books on, you know, alchemy and all that stuff. I've had alchemists on, I've had all these people on. Okay. And I'm always left going, all right. And what though? What does that mean? The same with numerology or gematria or anything like that, where it's like, I get the idea and it is interesting, but unless you can bring something that like helps or in some way,
there's no application.
Yeah, there's no utility in it really, besides an afterthought or in hindsight, and that's fine and it's interesting, it's fun to talk about, but you do get disillusioned by it because you're like, and Is there, and then life goes on. I still go to work tomorrow. So it's like, okay, whatever.
It's
anyway, I cut
ritual.
You off.
It's another ritual.
88, 33.
88 year old died. Holy fuck. Like, what? Like, people die every day, dude. He's old. Who cares? But they have to turn it again. And don't get me wrong, it's the atmosphere that we're in, this ecosystem that we're in that relies on this clickbait and this sort of thing. So again, I enjoy reading about this. I think it's super interesting, but there's a part of me that, again, I don't know if I truly, truly believe it. That's the same with the homunculus. I can't prove to people the homunculus is real, but we know that they're freaking cloning direwolves or whatever it is, even if it's like a percentage. Point is that they're messing with stuff that can.
And that seems like the real sorcery or the real magic is what they're doing with like genetics and all that kind of stuff. And that is, you know, highly scientific and technical. It's not throwing a bundle of your jizz and blood and whatever else and making a little person. In theory, I mean, yeah, I guess in theory that kind of makes sense because that is kind of how you make a baby. But I mean, in a crude way, they're just like, maybe you could just do it by, you know, wadding it up in a ball and sticking it in milk under your bed or however the fuck they do it. So,
yeah. And it sounds wild, right? Like all this stuff. I know how it's done. I can't prove it to you. I can talk to you about the historical records that we have, just like everything else. Everything is a historical record, right? Any religion is held together by some story. Some book, some old ass book, some old ass story that got translated a bunch of times and a bunch of people follow that, right? But whatever. The alchemical architecture, you know, this kind of ties into Fulcanelli and the Mystery of the Cathedrals where they don't really know where the funding was for all these cathedrals at this time, you know, during the 13th century around there. And they said that the Knights Templar had figured out the secret. the secret of alchemy in order to make the gold to fund all, you know, where the hell did the gold come from? You know, it's like, well, they created it. And then the lore goes that they were being instructed, if you follow Twyman's work, can't say that name out loud, but when you follow her work and you read it, you find out that maybe perhaps the Knights Templar, which were these mercenaries for the church, could have been talking to Baphomet, right? This entity thing, the head of John the Baptist, a half goat, half woman.
The goat with the bobs.
Right, with the tiggle bitties and all that stuff. Like, they were talking to some entity that gave them the instructions on how to create the gold, right? The secrets of reality. We've seen this time and time again. And Falconelli proposes that, and I love one time I heard that cathedrals are, what the hell they call it? Frozen sound or some shit like that. It sounded really cool. It's like, you know, they're super intricate.
The cymatic thing.
Yeah, and so when he proposes that within these walls of these cathedrals, and I think he focuses on the one of Notre Dame, I think he is the one that he talks about, is that within these walls, inscribed on these walls, is the secrets of how to create the Philosopher's Stone. And they kind of put it there in a way to, right, hidden in plain sight, only the initiates are able to. What did Thomas just send me something really? What the hell is this? All right, anyways.
Is that your boy, Paranoid American?
He sent me, I can forward it to you if you want to see what the hell he sent me. What is this, dude?
Oh, it could be literally anything. Love you, Thomas.
Oh, no, it's like, yeah, it's really bad.
Okay. We'll look at it after the show.
So, he says, hey, look, within, hidden in plain sight. But only, let me make sure I'm sending it to the right person, because I don't have your number saved. I don't want to send it to like one of my clients or something. Like, what the fuck is this? So he says they hid the secrets of how to create the Philosopher's Stone within these walls, and they inscribed it on these walls, right? And along other cathedrals as well, there's this weird symbolism that's there, but only the initiates can read it, right? And again, this kind of goes back into what I was talking about. And lately I've been getting into this idea of, I think that all the occult had an application as far as encrypting information, right? And the reason I say this is because I stumbled across like this little sect of occultism, and right, a lot of people talk about Crowley being a secret agent and all this stuff. And the particular section I focused on is Johann Weyer, which wrote this book, Pseudomonarchium Daemonum, which is a grimoire on how to control demons to do your bidding for you, right? Under the name of God. It was 69 demons. And this guy, he was an 11th student with Henry Cornelius Agrippa at the age of 13. Fucking weird, but whatever. And they were also talking to the father of cryptography, which I always get his name mixed up, but Trimetheus or Trithemius, however you say it, I always forget. And his work also influenced John Dee, right? The original 007. So you have these guys all together. And what's interesting about the Pseudomonarchium Daemonum, it's a grimoire, 69 demons, and it's you know, a small book on how to control these demons and make them do things for you. And that inspired the Lesser Key of Solomon, 72 demons. A lot of people use that, right? It's very powerful magic, right? And that came from Johann Weyer. There's a problem, though, because right from the Lesser Key, you have a whole bunch of other grimoires. The issue was that when Weyer put it out, it was supposed to be trolling the people. It was fake and gay. So if the original source is fake and gay, what does that make everything else that comes from that original source? And therefore, that's why I think it's like this sort of fan fiction thing that people do, where they take a system and they make something out of it that they believe in. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even though the original purpose was to be used for intelligence. And by intelligence, I'm talking about like reconnaissance and spies and things of this nature, because the whole thing was put out information that sounds like gibberish, but only the initiated can read between the lines and decipher what's actually being said. Trimetheus or Trithemius, he famously wrote the Stenographia, which is a book on how to communicate with angels. Or is it? It's actually a book on how to encrypt messages in, again, regular text for people to be able to read it. The father of cryptography, bro. So any regular person opens it up, during this time, hey, oh, they're talking to angels. They're not talking to demons. That's good magic. That's Christian magic. He's good to go. Meanwhile, it was a book about something completely different. And again, the regular person's going to open it up and go, I can read, I can talk to angels by reading this shit, right? And it's like, oh, and then you have John Dee, who was inspired by it. Fucking the angels, you know, Edward Kelly was like, hey, the angels told us we got to swap wine. We have to cuck each other, dude. What for? For the secrets of reality.
That's cult 101, just for anybody listening. I mean, that's what they do. That's how they start. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I have access to some information that you don't know about, right? Or the golden tablets. Where are they? The angels took them back up. Oh, well, damn. Now we can't read it, right? Again, it all goes in circles around.
It goes back to trust me, bro.
Trust me, bro. Exactly. 100%. So back again to this mystery of the cathedrals. So we have these cathedrals, which a lot of people go, how could they build these cathedrals? You know, these cathedrals are so amazing and beautiful. I agree. These cathedrals sometimes took 1,000 years to build, right? Because a lot of people talk about them being connected to Tartaria and this lost civilization. If you think they had access to some free source of energy or levitation or some shit, they would have built it quicker than 1,000 years. You get what I'm saying? Like, if they had some sort of superpower, they probably would have done it faster than 30 years. And one of the examples I use for that is Coral Castle in Homestead, Florida, which is Edward Leedskown. And he built this entire castle. This guy was like 5 foot tall.
Sickly, hey, watch guy. It.
You've seen him?
No, I said watch it because I'm short too.
He's not 5'5", though. It's whatever.
Short king. He was 5. It's all right, bro. It's all right. This dude was 5 feet tall, bro. 5 feet. 5. This dude almost was tiny.
Well, my dick feels way bigger now.
Well, this guy built this entire castle out of coquina stone, right? This limestone. And he had boasted about having discovered the secrets of how they built the pyramids. Well, it took him 30 years to build this damn castle. When you go there, it's pretty big, you know, but you could clearly see where he quarried the stone. If you think people were speculating, like, oh, he had help from aliens or he was levitating the rocks. If he was levitating the rocks, you don't think he would have built something bigger, quicker?
Yeah, if he's just out there playing a flute to move the stones, it should be, I mean, relatively quick. It
depends on how good he was at the fucking flute. That is a hard instrument. Maybe he was just practicing for the first 20 fucking years, and he was like, God damn it, this is hard. And then at the end, he was like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, shit, all right, now I can build.
He was perfecting it for the first 29 years. He would just build more,
but then he died, so it was too late.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's F-O-R. CompoundHERS.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through HERS, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, HERS has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Yes, and he wrote a ton of books. He was always talking about his Sweet 16 and this really creepy thing. And it turns out that I have the books. I actually bought them from the place. I've been there, but I had to order them because I found this dude on YouTube who talked about this book that deciphers all his writings. Now, the thing is, I have to essentially destroy the books in order to decipher what the code is. Right, and I was going to do that on a live stream one of these days, probably on Old World Florida. But I'm probably going to have to make copies of the books or order more because I essentially have to like fold them up and cut them and shit in order to like, dude, it's crazy. It like fits over on top of each other. It might be a gematria thing where they make shit up and like, oh, look, you see it fits. It equals 69.
That reminds me of something that you see on Facebook that's like, hey, scroll down here, comment on this, and you'll get a reward. And then they're yeah, gotcha.
That kind of reminds me of, you know, when they roll up the dollar bills and there's the Twin Towers or an alien or something like that. That's pareidolia, really. Yeah. But
again, the guy wrote a whole book on it. I've been meaning to do that. But again, that's another example I used to like, if he had actual access to technology, he would have used it, bro. It would have been quicker because a lot of people just want to. As long as it goes against the mainstream narrative, they want to not believe it, right? Like they want to believe whatever goes against the mainstream narrative is what I'm saying. So no matter what they say, as long as they do the opposite, they're good, right? And people are like that no matter what. You see that time and time again, especially in this conspiracy crowd.
Well, yeah, and if you actually say, no, this mainstream talking point is actually correct because of this, this, and that, then you're persona non grata and you're a shill. And
So... yeah, I've been there, done that. So the alchemical architecture is something that I've talked about because I stumbled across this particular book called Pythagorean Palaces. And I think it's called Pythagorean Palaces and 15th Century Renaissance Magic. Now, what's interesting about that book is that when you read about it, it's about architecture. Now, architecture was interesting because architecture and the architect, or really any profession back then, was looked at, right? The physician was the magician. And now we're getting into magical talk of, you know, making animating things and all that bullshit. The architect as a magician was an actual concept where they believed, right, their pen, what they were drawing with, was a sort of wand. And the way that they described the birthing of an idea or a building, for example, it was very mystical. They actually referred to the buildings as homunculus because what they believed was that their brain, their mind would get impregnated with this idea, right? So the process was the idea exists up here. It's impregnated into your brain. And then you create a model of it, right? So that's like the pre-homunculus to the homunculus. And then you manifest it and create the actual building. And they called their buildings homunculus. This was, I want to say it was Ficino or one of these guys. You know, I've quoted it before in my books. And so they believe that these buildings were kind of maybe sort of living. And I've called it homunculus wars because what ended up happening was this interesting concept where these people back then, they wanted to, and you can kind of see this in today's society, they wanted to, the next guy over, right, the next monarch over, king over, wanted to have a more badass building. The more windows, the more doors it had, it was better than the other guy who had 14 doors. Mine's going to have 16 doors, bitch. And so would make
I have 74 toilets.
Exactly. So they wanted to, like, again, they were, I call it homunculus wars, because they were kind of battling their my homunculus got a bigger dick than yours. Yeah. You know, like, they would make it bigger. So it gets interesting, because then you start to get into the concept of the purpose of this architecture, right? Not only is it beautiful, not only does it serve a certain purpose, right? You're in it, you're living in it, but it had a more metaphysical purpose. Now, the alchemical architecture of the Pythagorean palace is the concept that if you were to build a building to a certain geometric proportion or length or whatever it was, that you could elevate the consciousness of the people within that building to a higher state. Now, I'm sure if you could elevate someone's consciousness to a higher level, you could also suppress it. So I've talked about, maybe that's why they're doing cookie cutter communities and things of this nature, and houses being built the same way over and over again, kind of to dumb people down, right, in the sort of way, and pollute their consciousness. Meanwhile, you have the Freemasons building their lodges to certain geometric proportions. Washington and different cities are set up in certain geometric proportions because maybe certain angles invoke certain angels, right? And vice versa, right? And they kind of can draw down this energy, because that's always been one of the conspiracies. Look at Washington, D.C. It's got a pentagram. Satan, you know, like they're trying to summon Satan.
Dude, I remember seeing that, I mean, fucking 20 years ago. Yeah. And it is weird. I will give it that. That's a really bizarre way. It's not, I mean, as far as traffic flow and all that, if you're looking at the way the streets do make that kind of like pentagram shape, it's bizarre. It is bizarre, but like to what like effect?
Was it all designed at the same time? Because a city, I can't imagine that the whole city was built at the same time.
No.
To that magnitude. You know, it starts in one little place and then, you know, they plotted it out maybe, I guess. But look at our city that we live in right now. They're expanding and growing and building things here and there. But I couldn't say that they're mapping it out to a certain geometric pattern.
No, I mean, to say that, that, like, especially the Washington, D.C. example, to say that that just happened, like, I don't believe that either. I don't think that just they were building and building and building, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, holy shit, look at that.
Yeah.
It's a giant dick. You know, can you imagine, like, maybe there was like, wouldn't it be funny if we put like a dick shape here in this avenue here and make it look
they
like
did. It's called the Washington Monument.
There are city planners for a reason. Their job must be dope.
So it could be some of that too, like a little funny ha-ha, you know, like, hey, what if we did this?
Yeah, no, I think that's also a part of it too, because again, that's the kind of sort of the line of business I'm in, where you're following plans of the, you know, the architect, and the contractor is following plans. Would that mean the architect is an actual wizard who's trying to like manipulate reality by having the huge slong be built, you know, and down the city road or whatever it is? Because that's how it works, right? You're going based off of somebody else's calculations, and it's a system, right? So maybe it was different back then. Maybe they did it on purpose. But according to this concept, it's got some credence to it because it's been written about. And there's a reason why certain monarchs were born. And for example, Rudolf II, his whole family was built, they're all buried at kind of sort of what is considered a Pythagorean palace, El Escorial, which is this famous huge palace. They're all there. Like, it's weird. They're all buried there. They all grew up in the same spot, the same building. So is it for that? Like, again, and if you talk about the Habsburgs, they were all like super inbred, huge crimson chin. Maybe they're trying to hoard all the consciousness for themselves and kind of take over the world, which for a time they were very, very powerful. So maybe how you said, like, oh, they believe it, so it's true to them. Maybe, or it might be fake and gay, right?
Yeah, and if they're hoarding all the consciousness, but the only way to hoard it is by inbreeding to shit for hundreds of years, maybe they're not that smart.
What if that's the secret, though, bro? What if that's the way? Like, what do you got to do it to your sister, man? You know, like
I'll just be like, well, I guess I won't be rich and powerful and famous then.
Fine, keep your homunculus secrets, right? Like I won't make one then. So what was the other one that he said? The second part. Was the alchemical architecture, and what was the other part?
Oh,
liminal spaces.
Yeah.
Okay, so this kind of plays in again. This is kind of drawing on Twyman's work. Twyman was, when I first started, was very, very influential, and she talks about.
Before you get too far, why don't you give the listeners a little bit of backstory on Tracy Twyman and what the fuck that whole thing was?
Are you sure you want to talk about that? You're gonna get harassed.
I don't give a shit. I don't even know what it is. Harass me. I came in late to that game, heard about it in passing, and nobody will talk about it, so I don't know what the fuck you're talking
about.
Same.
I'm not 100%. Yeah.
I mean, you can say whatever.
We're not caught up on all that.
As much or as little as you want, but just, I know Tracy Twyman was a thing. I've heard Greg mention her on THC, and there was a thing that I don't know what it is, and then she died and nobody talks about it. So,
well, she killed herself, and the whole thing was she was looking into, she was talking to, I love my life, I would never do anything to myself. She was talking to Isaac Cappy before that whole thing popped off, and she was looking into this place, I think on the West Coast somewhere, a certain a place where people would get together and do things. Use your imagination. I mean, again, what it's all about.
Maybe in a forest or.
No, it wasn't in the forest. I think it was somewhere in, like, it was more rocky, right? Not so much. And so the whole thing is that they targeted her. Now, where it gets complicated is where. I don't know how much I should say, because I know people who are literally being sued for this.
Did you just caveat before you spoke by saying, I love my life, I would never do this, because you are about to talk about this? Okay.
Yeah,
well, we have a disclaimer in our notes. This is all satire, parody, comedy, you know, fair use also. So go fuck yourselves.
Sure. So this guy that was very involved with her, he is like purging the internet of all her stuff. And I can tell you who the guy is after the show. I'm sure he was... He was very close to her, if you get what I'm saying, right? They were, you know.
Yeah, get it.
So he's kind of, woohoo! He thinks he's the reincarnation of Baphomet or something like that, right? So I've heard. And good, so, yeah. Yeah, good for him, right? He's got a lot going for him. Now, her work, she wrote a lot of work. She wrote mostly about, like, Knights Templar. She's really well known for talking about Baphomet, the Temple Mystery Unveiled, which is a whole book. And the interesting part about that book is, again, I kind of know behind the scenes, because when I first started podcasting, I had like these weird, really weird synchronicities. And it turns out that her co-author, at the time that she was writing that book, he lives like 30 minutes away from me. And so when I was first getting into this sort of thing, I wanted to learn more, but obviously she was gone, so I couldn't talk to her. I'm reading her stuff and I'm like, this is crazy. This is mind blowing. And then I reach out to her co-author, right? I find his website, all this other stuff, and I reach out to him. This was like 6 years ago. And he answers right away. He was like kind of MIA, because think about it. His friend essentially had done this to herself, and they had just gotten done writing this book that essentially, the way he put it was, they were possessed by something to write this book. And they were messing around with, and again, this is a whole... source, trust me, bro, but she is gone, right? Again, I don't know. And the way he put it was that they were possessed for like 7 months, where they couldn't do anything else but focus on this book and finish it. And he speculates they was possessed by Baphomet or whatever this thing was. And they were touching these manuscripts that hadn't been touched and translated in, you know, hundreds of years. And the specialist that they had translating these books and these manuscripts, he was having like poltergeist activity. He was like super freaked out. He was having brain fog. All this crazy, weird shit was happening, right? So the way he put it was that they were in like some sort of trance, possessed by this thing to finish this book about Baphomet, right? Like this weird thing. And I'm stumbling across this when like I'm first starting out, right? Podcasting and this whole esoteric and woo-woo.
Mind and so I read blown, bro. You should have made some TikToks that are 6 seconds long.
And again, do I believe it or not? I maybe, but again, she did that. There's other speculations as to what happened. I mean, you can imagine if you're looking back again to what I was talking about earlier, the real dangerous information isn't about Baphomet. It's about a certain group of people doing things that we all know about, right? We all know that they're doing it, but if you have actual proof about it, you better watch out. And when you fly too close to the sun, you're going to get burned, right? We already know how that story ends. And so I stumble across that whole thing, but point being that her work is very influential. For a long time, she was doing like Ouija board sessions where she was communicating with Baphomet, and they were getting like information back and forth. And she wrote this particular piece about hidden hyperspace kingdoms. And it's kind of tied into Atlas Shrugged and this whole concept of that maybe perhaps the elites have access to these other realities, like quite literally, not like, oh, figuratively, oh, they're going to Hyperborea or some shit like that. No, like actual physical places that they can go to. Okay. And she wrote this book called Genuflect. Now, Genuflect, that book changed my fucking life because it's just so crazy. The stuff that's in it. And when you start to kind of peel back the layers, you kind of start to see that. And I see this time and time again, where a lot of occultists for a long time, especially like Crowley, he wrote stories. He wrote the book Moonchild, which is a story about these two lodges fighting over an unborn child. Now, turns out it might have been based off of real life. And this book, Genuflect, the way that, and again, I know people who were very close to her who have told me from conversations they had with her, that this particular book, it's a fucked up book, really dark book, has some crazy shit in it. It was like a download she had, right? That she got it from somewhere and she wrote the whole thing down, right? And that was like the whole thing. But once you read the book, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Once you like really, I have to actually read it again because it's just so crazy. But
so Genuflect, I'll put the link in the show notes.
Yeah, good luck finding a copy. I have two copies, and last I checked, it was like $666 for one copy or something.
That's an odd number. Everybody go nuts on that.
Again, I mean, so she wrote a whole bunch of stuff, and Hidden Hyperspace Kingdoms is this concept that they can go outside of reality, which is kind of tied into alchemy, because the whole point of alchemy, according to Fulcanelli, the secrets of alchemy, is being able to, once you achieve the magnum opus, step outside of space and time. Well, coincidentally and conveniently, all the people who have achieved the magnum opus, we can't ask them what that is because they disappear, right? Conveniently, we can't ask Fulcanelli why he achieved the magnum opus because he fizzled out of reality.
That's the best cheat code ever. If they do it, they disappear, and you can't ask them because they fucking disappeared.
Boom. Exactly. Conveniently, nice. Right?
That's a nice little
interesting
package.
It's interesting that check this out. The first person to ever talk about Fulcanelli, which was this immortal alchemist of the early 20th century, the first person ever to mention the name Fulcanelli was the wife of Augustus Bartholdi. What's so special about Augustus? Have you ever heard that name, Augustus Bartholdi?
No, I have heard of Fulcanelli, and as far as I know, that's not even verified as a real person. Some people think it's like Saint Germain type of guy, or yeah. Yes.
The wife of the guy, so Augustus Bartholdi was the guy who sculpted the Statue of Liberty, bro. He was the one who designed it and helped produce the Statue of Liberty. Okay, And then that particular family that she was a part of, which they were in a secret society and also helped build the Suez Canal and all these other things. They're the ones that presented it to the United States as a gift. Okay. So the first family ever to kind of talk about this immortal alchemist that the OSS tried looking for him because he talked about the Manhattan Project 5 years before it was a thing in 1925 or some shit. And apparently he had appeared to some alchemist in his lab and told him the secrets of alchemy. And the OSS, the precursor to the CIA, was like, who the fuck is this guy? Who does he work for? We got to find him. So essentially the CIA, according to the legend, were looking for an immortal alchemist, right? The hide and seek champion of all time. Fulcanelli. Well, spoiler alert, they never fucking found him. But he had predicted the Manhattan Party, the concept of nuclear energy 5 years before it was a thing.
So he just popped up and was like, all right, this is how you bomb the gooks. Here we go.
Yeah, but are you sure they didn't just find him and he disappeared to us? They found him and then made the Manhattan Project happen.
Hey, maybe.
This is why we don't know what to believe or not.
There you go. Exactly. Right. Because there's so much shit that you just don't know, like what to believe. This is, I'm telling you a story. Okay. I'm just telling, this is parody, right? We're not talking about anything real. Satire. This is all fake and gay. This entire conversation is fake and gay.
We're all fake and gay.
Huge fat liar. We're all fake and gay. Right. So
boner.
They have boner pills right there. So again, Fulcanelli talked about the mystery of the cathedrals, alchemy, Pythagorean palaces, so liminal spaces. So she wrote about this thing, right? Where these, and it's funny because for a time, a lot of Chinese CEOs were going missing. You guys remember that? Where there was like
they probably still are.
Oh, they probably still are, but they were going missing. So it makes you wonder, like, is there a place they go to? Is there a place that, right, like old Jeffrey might have not hung himself? Do they go? Why does Ghislaine or Ghislaine, whatever, why does she have a submarine? Why do all these elites have submarine licenses? Is there like different realities or portals, or maybe like some Batman cave somewhere where these guys go, right? Because they always talk about it, like, where was it? Dude, really, him
in all reality, like, I could see that being a thing, not an underground city like Atlantis or Agartha. Is that underwater? I don't know. Anyway,
yes,
there are. Yeah, so I can see something
inside the earth.
Yeah, right. And even not even as extreme as that, like, there's a great fucking audio drama if people are into that. It's called the Leviathan Chronicles, and it's fiction apparently, but it's about the city built in the Marianas Trench. Ooh. And it's a really cool idea, but I was like, obviously this is sci-fi, and then you think about it more and you're like,
is it?
I bet there's a way that they could do that. And we just, I mean, the tech would be pretty involved, obviously, to get stuff down there to build such a thing. But I wouldn't be surprised, I guess, is what I'm saying by that.
So I guess, wait, to clarify, so these liminal spaces, are these places that we can physically travel to, like the Marianas Trench, or is it like traveling through a dimension, but physically to get to somewhere else outside of this earth where you have to get there through means that we as common folk can't quite do at this point?
So it's a mixture, and I haven't really gotten into it, so I'm going to present it now. So a liminal space is a space, and this is what's interesting, because it's based off of what they call like no clipping out of reality or video games, right? You know, when you glitch off the map. But the problem was that for a time, I don't know if you can still do it anymore, on Google Earth, you could go to these liminal spaces, right? And it would
like
you could
the back rooms, or
yes, like the exactly
like
the back rooms.
That's
like
what
that.
I was thinking of too.
Like, yeah. What if that's an actual concept? And let's say that this is a simulation, and we're running off this operating system, whatever, you know, whatever operating system, you name it.
God OS.
And let's say that maybe, right, these guys, if these elites are as retarded as people make them seem to be, like, what if they're running Google Earth, right, off the operating system, and somebody just found an exploit or something like that based off that system? Because it's funny that they patched it up. Oh,
they're running it off Windows, Windows 3.1 or something.
Yeah. Windows 2000 or some shit. Yeah. So again, that concept of being able to access these places, think about, for example, right, like the missing 411. What if these people are stumbling across? You ever lose your wallet and you can't fucking find it for like...
I just lost my keys the other day, still can't find them. Yeah.
It seems like they just clip out of reality. You go, what the fuck? I've looked everywhere. And sometimes, like, it's happened to me, I've found it like stuck between my truck, like that.
Oh, yeah.
The abyss.
I'd say 9 times out of 10 for me, I'm just retarded and put it somewhere I shouldn't have. And then I'm like, whoa.
No, but I think what he's saying, though, is when you look all over for something and then it's right there in front of your face all of a sudden in a place that you've looked a million times.
Exactly. But again, what if that's the same concept for like these liminal spaces, that they're there all the time, but perhaps based on something, the way you observe, we know the observer effect is a real thing. What if it reacts differently depending on what time of day, year, whatever?
I would say that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, like the code's just right. It's the same thing as a glitch in a code.
Yes, the port is, because so the ancients seem to be real interested in...
It's a cheat code, you know, up, up, down, down, square, square.
Left, and then, right. Yeah.
Fucking, I'm a transform, you know, like it comes out of reality, whatever it is.
Yeah, no, they seem to be real interested in the stars and the cycles and the calendar and the day and the time and, you know, the moon was in this phase and all that. That would make sense. Like, maybe that's why they were so interested in that, is because there's these certain spots where on this certain day, every, you know, 600 years or something, this one opens. Well, yeah, but they have a map of all of them.
That would be like a cheat code.
Facing east.
But what if there are bugs that even the higher beings who created us, if we're in a simulation, again, this is not my belief necessarily, I'm just entertaining the thought.
It's just fun to talk about.
But what if there are bugs that they don't even know about, and that's what missing 411 is, where they're like, oh fuck, he just blinked out of existence.
Or they know about it, because the national parks don't even keep a record of missing people, so maybe they do know about it, and they're like,
well, they might know it's a bug, but they're like, we haven't quite done the patch yet. So
I wouldn't be surprised.
Like this, like just stuck somewhere, like get me the fuck out of here. You know, like
the Philadelphia experiment. He's just half in a ship, half out. Just they knew exactly what's happening, but they can't say, because obviously,
maybe that's what space is. Like, you know, it was all space is fake. Maybe that's what it is. Like this other dimension, this other reality. Now, with everything that we've just said, think about, here's where I think the occult kind of plays a role, where maybe that is the cheat code, maybe that is the way to put yourself in these other places, maybe, perhaps, maybe not, right? You got to do weird shit. When Greg was reading to me the rooster ritual, again, there was this is a book of like 88 experiments. I don't know all of them, right? Like I've read all of them, but I don't remember all. So when he's like, do you remember the rooster one? I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, the cock. And he's reading to me what it is. I'm like, this sounds fucking bizarre, man. Like, this sounds crazy. Somebody wrote that in the 9th century, okay? Somebody wrote about doing that specific ritual and putting all these things together in the 9th century. Now, could he have been writing in code? Absolutely, he could have been writing in code. For what? I can't tell you what.
What is the ritual? What is it? Can you describe it for us?
Oh, shit. Let me, here.
Or could it have been, like you were saying, like, parody, early parody, like a jokester, like a funny ha-ha, a scribe that was like, let's have a laugh at these wankers.
I know, it's funny that we do look back in time and in history and think that every single thing that was written down was dead serious. Nobody had a sense of humor. No one was being funny. And imagine if someone just found a comic 5,000 years from now and they're like, oh my God, they could fly. They could see through walls. These people, they're amazing. And they're just a fucking race of beings that never existed except for in our minds.
Yeah, all the early cave paintings were actually just real ancient peanuts, and they're really dumb jokes.
Okay.
Do it.
I got it. Here we go. Ready? You guys want to learn about how to see spiritual beings? This is from the Liber Vacae. This is a 9th century grimoire on how to do magnificent things, is how the way they put it. How to
sounds like he's taking the piss to me.
Rational and irrational animals. Okay, so this is one of the things in it. This chapter I-42. This is based off of David Pingree's transcription, and I put it in ChatGPT to translate it and have my own translation. But then I went ahead and I compared it to the original translation, and it lines up pretty good. So that's how I'm able to kind of see if it's legit or not. This AI is retarded. When you want to see spiritual beings, and they are from the higher world in their ascension and descent, in their form, circumstances, figures, and their clothing, and nothing, little or much, is hidden from you, take a white rooster having a round crest, concave in the middle like a bull, and go with it to a place where the barking of a dog or the other voice of a raven cannot be heard, and place it there. Pay attention to the fish called albutane, which is famous and well known, and extract its white eyes while it is alive and place them in the water. When the rooster then suffers from hunger, take it and feed it the two eyes of the fish, and do this with 3 fish. For when the 3rd day comes and it has eaten 2 eyes, look at it, and you will see it grow and magnify, and its eyes will become inflamed. Do not let this stop until 3 days have passed, for it will spit out a piece of blood from its mouth. Take that. Then decapitate the rooster at your chosen time and pay attention to a very black wild cat and feed it that rooster. When it has eaten it, decapitate it. Then take its blood and its bile and dry each separately. Then make an alcohol first with the blood and secondly with the bile. For you will see all spiritual beings at once, that is, suddenly at the time of their ascension and descent, and in the day and in the night and at all hours.
Yeah, so he's taking the piss. He's having fun, and he's going to make people do this. And when they actually do, he's going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that.
It doesn't sound like anyone could actually do that, because if you listen to it, it sounds like a code written in a game. So just say you're playing a game. It sounds like something it sounds like a quest or a side quest that you'd have to do in Zelda or something. You'd have to be in an exact certain place where a black cat would walk by, where the albutane fish would happen to be, where you'd be able to
do that three times.
I've never done it. I don't know where all those things lie. We don't know if it works, but if a black cat were to happen to walk by, I guess we'd have to find ourselves in the exact right place. I guess I don't know this game very well. I'm just a fucking noob. God damn it.
It's funny, too, because it's like, do you translate that to modern times? Like, would it work now? Because do you have to go where a dog doesn't bark and a raven doesn't crow, but also where you can't hear traffic noise or the airport? Like, you'd have to, I mean, does that, you know, factor into this? Or is it just the dog and the raven or whatever he said?
Yeah, no, dude. I mean, it could totally be bullshit. I'm just saying, if you were playing a game, you'd know where all of those things were if you were paying attention. Yes. I don't know. Like, I'm a big gamer,
like Minecraft.
So... Yeah, well, no, okay, I'm not a Minecraft player, but...
No, I like graphics.
But yeah, I'm saying, I'm like saying. Minecraft, you get materials to craft shit, you make one thing, do the other. But here's the thing. So let's say that it is code and it's fake and gay. There's this some dude right here. He's going to pick that book up and go, holy shit, I'm going to follow these exact recipe and this exact instructions and see what happens. Because again, I've never done that. Have you guys done that? Well, not until you guys do what it says in there, can you tell me that that's fake and gay? And that's where I'm like, huh, is it fake and gay? I've never done it. I'm going to have to take this dude's word for it. So until somebody does this shit to otherwise prove that it's not real, it's real. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's real and not real at the same time until somebody proves it otherwise.
Schrodinger's rooster.
Yeah.
Schrodinger's cock. You know, it's in the... Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, and it's so funny too to hear all these old grimoires from like the Dark Ages, and like you said, everybody kind of takes it as gospel, and they're like, well, they must have known something. And I get why you'd think that is because it was so tedious, and people had to know how to spell and write and have access to writing things, that if they were actually putting pen to paper back then, you'd think they had a reason to do that. But if they're humans, they still have human tendencies, and maybe they were just taking the piss and fucking with people.
God, I don't want to devolve it. I don't want to. I feel like I'm just bringing the conversation back to, like, you know, dumbing it down. But what if it was just a walkthrough guide to, like, a video game from a civilization long ago? I mean, because I do feel like there are other civilizations that have taken place before us. And, you know, if someone found...
It sounds like Zelda.
The walkthrough guide to Zelda, and they're like...
Elden Ring. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But that could be the guide to that, you know, and that's all they found. Yeah. And they're like, okay, wow, we have to go do this. But they're doing it in this world where that stuff just can't happen.
No, the page at the beginning was missing, where he said, first, you got to take 40 hits of ergot or mushrooms or something, and then this all makes
sense. First, start up the game and sit on your couch, and then we could have had all of the same things, and civilization was destroyed.
Sit
and
on build, thy couch.
No, yeah. Okay.
No, 100%. Like, I'm with you guys on everything you've said, because again, I'm a skeptic, and I'm trying to figure out what the fuck this even means. Why somebody would write this down? And you know, the word grammar comes from the word grimoire, so. Grammar, though, what we use to write shit out, was a book of spells in the 16th century, and that's etymology. So, again, what does that mean? Does that mean we cast spells when we're talking, dude? I don't know. Like, you know, some gay shit like that. Who knows?
I love the way you just said that, because that's exactly what I do in my head when someone says that. I do that voice when I'm listening to them say that. I'm like, oh, that's what we're doing.
I'm a fucking retard, yeah.
What up, retarded faggots?
Yeah, there you go. So... Again, and it's interesting because nowadays words actually do have power. Like, you can't say certain words and things because people get offended and all that shit. At the end of the day, it's whatever happened again to sticks and stones may break my bones.
That ended in 1999.
The fucking eyes to see demons, right? You know, like,
yeah,
whatever happened to that? Because nowadays it's like you can't call. My favorite meme, it's like, sir, it's ma'am. You know, it's the fucking tranny.
It is ma'am. Like, oh yeah, it is screaming ma'am. At the chick at the grocery store. Yeah,
it's not very ladylike, you know. So, anyways, back again to the liminal spaces. Maybe there is a way to get into these other places. And let's say that, we talked about CERN and things like that, where it kind of, they kind of hint at having different dimensions. When you get into quantum computing, which we don't know what the fuck that means, but quantum computing, the way that I've come to understand it is that these computers are processing at such a high rate of speed that they're actually reaching into the asshole of another dimension and pulling out information and injecting into our reality so we can decipher it and see if we can find something that's actually useful. Those are words of dudes who talk about this shit. Like, what am I supposed to make out of that? They're reaching into a parallel dimension to extract information. What?
Yeah. How do you even make sense of that? It sounds about the same as, you know, getting the fish and the, yeah. Yeah. I mean, to us, to the uninitiated, it does sound like that. And this is why the scientism priest class is the same fucking thing it was in the 9th century, but just under a different name and a different, you know, only I can read this book and you got to just believe me, bro. Trust me, bro. And that's how it is now. And we do have to, because we don't fucking know what a quantum computer is or how it actually works or if it's actually real or... if quantum computing is fake and gay and it's somebody just writing some shit and he's like, no, I reached into another dimension. There was some fucking gold plates and now they're gone because it was in another dimension. But you got to believe me because it came from another dimension.
If there was a group, though, that knew that there was another dimension that created us, just say it's like if you ever wrote code and created a group of sentient beings, just say, and that group of sentient beings got intelligent enough to figure out not necessarily how to break out, they'd have to figure out, first of all, where they were in the first place and that there was another space outside of that. Then they'd have to find the space that connected them to that outside world. And then the technology in that outside world would have to exist to allow them to exist yes. out there. So they would there would have to be a lot of things in place. I'm not saying that isn't true, but there would be so much that we would be hidden from everybody else because they don't want everyone else to fuck it all up because humans are kind of dumb at the end of the day. Not dumb, but we just want to know everything at the same time. And
yes.
I don't know. So
no, I agree with you. And I think that's why dudes are writing like this now. Another aspect of these liminal spaces or these Pythagorean palaces, which is one of my favorites, is the concept of right mind palaces and the homunculus as a mnemonic device, as a memory technique or as a memory device is also an interesting one because, you know, we're talking about ancient cultures and civilizations and things of that nature. And one of the main things that you're supposed to do when you're creating a memory palace, which a memory palace, for those that don't know, is when you create a space, maybe perhaps liminal, and you go there in your mind's eye, and every single different room is populated with some information that you are trying to recall.
It's now, advanced visualization.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. Yeah, pretty much, right? So you're trying to, it's memory recollection, right? So this is a technique. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to remember. So you know, you pick a place, pick your favorite, you know, your childhood home, if you can remember that. And every single room, it's going to be completely empty. And every single room, you populate it with whatever. And in order to recall more easily what you're trying to remember, the more fantastical or crazy it is, like taking the eyes of a rooster, that's beating a cow carcass with the biggest dog dick you can find to a pole.
Oh, right.
That's a very, very interesting visual. I can remember that. That's fucking crazy. So I'm going to tie that to I got a dentist appointment on Tuesday. So, all right, when I walk in to the left, there's some dude beating a cow carcass with a huge, fucking dentist appointment. Now I won't forget. And again, that's a very simplified version, but you can get very, very technical with these things. And so when you have these recipes and these things that they're talking about, maybe it's code for another process that they were trying to remember that they couldn't flat out write about. Why couldn't they write about it? Well, maybe perhaps it was viewed as heretical at the time because the church had power, and a lot of the things that they were doing in these books, maybe not the spiritual being one, because that one involves seeing things that are kind of astral, But there are other things in there that they justified with it being natural magic. Now, the concept of natural magic is if God put A plus B on this reality and I put those together like a cheat code, right? Because that's the whole thing about the physician being a magician. He's de-occulting things of nature, right? And some people would say they're perverting nature because they're doing things that that nature wouldn't do on its own, right? You wouldn't create a homunculus with the cow carcass. But they're like, hey, wait, wait, wait. God put the biggest dog dick here and he put that cow here. If I just happen to beat that cow carcass with the dog dick, I get the homunculus. If God didn't want me to do that, he wouldn't have put the dog dick and the cow carcass there for me to do that interaction, right? So as long as you're messing with things in nature that God put there and weren't using demonic influences such as fucking Cthulhu or whatever, you were good. So you were fine. You could do that all day long. That was Christian magic, bro. You're good. You're magic for God. Fuck yeah. You know, you weren't burned at the stake. Now, if you start doing the whole spiritual being stuff, that can get a little, you know, they can get you for that.
You want to see Christian magic? Watch the Pope's funeral. That's some weird shit. I don't care what denomination you are. Apparently, I don't know what to believe on the internet, but it's really weird. They got black hoods and shit and carrying glowing staffs and whatnot. Yeah, it's weird. You can look it up. But that is a weird thing I'd never thought about, though, that maybe these ancient texts and religions are based on just simple mnemonic devices, and we took them real literal, and now you're beating a cow carcass with the biggest dog dick you can find.
I'm going to think about that every time I pull up a file on my computer. I'm going to be like, what's my computer thinking about right now? How did it get to pull up this file? How's it doing this recall?
Your computer is like, please unplug me.
That's why it's called random access memory. It's like, oh, you know what?
So
dog dicks.
This ties into the Pythagorean palaces because a lot of these elites, by elites, I'm talking about like people, you know, in positions of power, governments, monarch, whatever. They would, a lot of times, they would use their actual palaces, their places as mind palaces. And there was this weird thing where if you could access within your mind palace, the place you were actually thinking about, it would cause a change in the real palace somewhere. And again, I don't know what that
sympathetic
means.
Sympathetic magic or whatever it's called. Yeah,
you got it. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And what's interesting about that is that this is something that Francis Yates wrote.
That's also voodoo. I mean, that's the concept behind a voodoo doll, right?
Yeah, which is a homunculus.
Poking it with pins. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, which is a homunculus. That's like one. It's a shape of a man. So, one of the things that Francis Yates talks about to like put all this together as to like what's it all for, the mind palace and everything. It's interesting because Francis Yates, which is one of my favorite authors, she writes about the art of memory. Now, I haven't been able to decipher exactly what that means, but the way I've come to understand it is that back then, people who could recall things were fucking wizards. Like, oh my God, this guy's remembering whatever it was. Like that was a superpower back then. And the way that I've come to understand the art of memory by using these demonic devices and these mind palaces and all these things is that they believe that within your own mind, you could achieve essentially like a superpower that was like within you the whole time by using your mind, by using your memory. And so that's why these things like the memory palace and these places were important to these people, because they had, again, it's not just about the architecture. Yes, it's fucking dope, but it had a much deeper occulted meaning to it. How you were saying about the Pope's funeral, they used these buildings for certain ceremonies and things like that. And if you look at the cathedrals, for example, they do have some sort of resonance. They do have some sort of acoustics, and the way that the Tiffany glass, you know, when the light shines in, it does some crazy shit. And I was reading about, it was a pupil of, so Eugene Consoliot was an alchemist who was a pupil of Folconelli, and Eugene Consoliot's pupil wrote a book, and it's a book that was written in French that was translated into English. And in that book, he talked about the Hunchback of Notre Dame, which I don't know if he was talking about. I'm sure he was talking about the original movie from like, I want to say the 40s or some shit. There's a black and white movie and there's a book. And he says, watch that movie. And if you don't understand it, watch it again. And if you don't understand it, watch it again. And if you don't, and it was about again, the Hunchback of Notre Dame, almost like it's concealing a secret of some sort, right? Like it's got a hidden code in it. And it's funny because I recently learned that Quasimodo, they speculated that he was the offspring of a Jew with a sow. What does that make him? A Jew, right? Weird. I mean, they do weird shit. With a sow, which is a female pig. What does that make Quasimodo, bro?
A pig kike?
Well, yes, but a homunculus. Close.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a kike monculus, I guess you could call him. Yeah. I don't know, whatever. He was born out of this sow, this animal, right? This half man, half whatever beast, right?
Nose.
And Quasimodo was the bell ringer, right? Was the guy in charge of ringing the bells. And, you know, you can go down the whole rabbit hole of bells. And I think I was speculating recently that a lot of the things that we talk about, because again, I don't consider myself a conspiracy theorist, but I like the weird shit. I'm a fucking weirdo, right? So I like talking about this stuff.
Aren't we all? And
if you look at like the concept of, for example, there was this certain town, Cold Something Harbor, which is kind of tied into Severance. Whole thing. The real place where they discovered DNA, that town, I believe, and I could be getting some of this wrong, hid the Liberty Bell. Right when everything was popping off, they hid the Liberty Bell there. Now, Liberty Bell, when we think of a fucking bell, we think of a huge brass thing, right, made of bell. Well, what if a bell was code name, again, for something else, maybe a form of technology? Is that like why they got rid of all, huh?
I said like Die Glocke, the German
yes,
bell?
Yes, yeah, the yeah. Nazi bell. Yes, yes, exactly. Like, they, you know, we think about in like 2D, like, oh, it's just a bell. They ring. It goes ding dong, you know, and it's like, no. What if it's, you know, like the Philosopher's Stone? We think of an actual stone. Well, what if it's a breakthrough in space and time, like a nuclear reaction or something or other? Because, again, we're focusing, oh, the Holy Grail is a cup. What if it's a fucking person? You know, like, yeah. What if it's not an actual cup and it's a person that went through a ceremony and was charged in some sort of way and has the blood of Christ or whatever it is, and this bloodline and all this? Like, we think very 2D. Same thing with the Ark of the Covenant. We're presented a lot of these relics throughout history. What if they're more than just like what they're telling us about, right? And what if they're not actual physical things and they're referencing, right? We're talking about fucking liminal spaces and homunculus and all. What if it's something else?
Yeah, it's
who
the
gives
way
a
they,
fuck about they, a bell? Why are you hiding a bell?
Yeah, the way they describe things back then too wouldn't make sense to the modern person, which is why people misinterpret Revelation and other books, is because the way that they had to describe things back then doesn't make sense to us now. A great dragon in the sky breathing fire, but there is cloaked with the sun, and you know, all
it's
these
a demonic story, bro.
Yeah, it's all these crazy things that made sense to them back then, maybe, but like to us now, we're like,
well, because they had to use the words that they knew to describe it. And it's very comfortable to believe that story because that's all we know. But asking the questions that you're asking, Juan,
crazy nowadays, if you read it, yeah, what the
it does
fuck
now. But it's nice to hear people asking questions like, why would they do that? What else is there? What else could that be? Those are the questions we have to ask to move forward. We can't just believe everything we're told and just sit in this little box and think the answers are going to come to us, because I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Yes, to a certain extent.
Yeah, not to say I'd put more stock in things that have kind of passed the test of time, like the Bible or anything else. It's kind of, people have gotten enough value out of it over the years that it's still here. But it kind of does make sense. Like, there's something intrinsically about, maybe it's the mnemonic device. Maybe that's what's passed on in these stories is,
it is. Yeah, that's part of it.
The mnemonic device, but it's subconscious and we don't really realize what it is, but we kind of resonate, for lack of a better new age term, with it. And we kind of know what it means.
There's something that we're missing that we're accidentally doing that's keeping us
we're missing
moving
a lot
forward.
Of things. Yeah.
But there's something that we're getting, is what I mean, that's keeping us
moving
forward.
That's what I'm saying. We resonate with it somehow, and that's why it's still here, is because we get it somehow, but we're missing whatever it actually means. And that brings me to the and, like we started at the beginning. A fucking and what?
The
we don't know. We're missing
something. Like, what was all that for, damn it? And that's how I feel sometimes, where I'm like reading all this stuff. I'm like, the fuck am I doing here, man? You know? What am I doing?
Nah, it's still fun though, and it is fun to talk about and to bounce ideas off people and kind of get their perspective. And it seems like, especially lately, a lot more people are kind of, I don't want to say agreeing with us. They're just, they have more of the same kind of perspective where they're like, yes, let's try to figure this out. But it's kind of just, I don't want to say an exercise in futility, but sometimes it feels like that where you're just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go outside and piss in my yard and, you know, drink a beer and just whatever. Cause
it ebbs and flows. I think, I mean, in 2020, everyone was so hungry for the truth or whatever you want to call it. And then we got tired. That's the same thing that we do with everything.
But is that by design?
Super obsessed with something. It could be a food. It could be a movie. It could be anything. And then we grow tired of it and we do something else. And then we'll find something else to pique our interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's the way it is. And especially in today's society where we have a very limited attention span, how I was mentioning earlier, it's all about clicks and baity titles. And you go, and sometimes you know it's a bait fucking title and you're like,
and you still click it.
I'm going to click it anyways, right? And like, I know it's not, I'm not going to get like real information out of it, but I'm just going to click it. And sometimes I click it to see how retarded it is, right? Like, I know it's probably nothing, but hey, maybe it is.
Dude, that's with like the cooking videos. I like to cook a lot, so Facebook knows that and is always like, how about this cooking video? 9 times out of 10, it's good. And I'm like, oh, damn, I got to try that. There's that 10th one, though, that you see it and you're like, this looks fucking stupid. But I'm still going to click on it. And there's a million like mad faces on Facebook, you know, at it. And you're like, why are they so mad though? I got to see why they're so mad about it. Yes.
I think that's a great metaphor for searching for the truth though. You have to look at everything. You can't just click on the things that appeal to you. You have to look at something that you kind of know is dumb because maybe there'll be some gold in there. You have no idea.
Yes.
Or it's just, it's one thing you can eliminate. That's how I look at it. Like sometimes I'll listen to the wildest theories on stuff, sure, have them explain why they think that and be like, okay, I've heard your point of view. I can eliminate that, you know, effectively now from my worldview until I hear something more. But for now, that's out. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and that's the way I am too. Like I reserve my own personal beliefs, but I want to be able to explore every side of every argument. Because how can you truly know the truth if you don't know the other side of one argument? Exactly. You know, that's how you get cults where it's like an echo chamber. And that's where a lot of people are at, where they don't want to see the other side because of whatever reason. You know, they were touched as a kid or whatever it was, and they just don't want to see it. But it's like it's important to go between the lines and expose yourself to everything. I read about alchemy, and I've also read books about why alchemy is fake and gay, because I want to see both sides and see where they both stand.
It's that's called being open-minded. Instead of being siloed into these confirmation bias tunnels that people get trapped in, they're just bouncing around and they're at the same thing all the time.
Yeah, looking for things that they resonate with only instead of trying to see the other side. Like, do a moot court thing with yourself about two sides of a story, you know, like anything, both sides. Like, try to see the side that you hate, try to find good in it, and then. So you can at least fight it or at least maybe understand it. Who knows?
Well, that's
like even the people, the flat earth guy that was trying to disprove flat earth, and he did it by digging into flat earth and now he believes in it. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but he at least, I think,
being a homosexual. Yeah.
But I think his motives were pure, though. He was like, I'm going to figure out exactly what this other side believes.
No,
who knows where you'll end up, okay? Everyone has different morals and values, but you should at least dig deep into
that. That's why I respect the flat earth people, is because they actually had the, you know, they're asking the right questions. Maybe not the right questions, but they've got the right idea with the questions they're asking.
Mindset, yeah.
It's the right mindset. And hey, we all come up with different conclusions to all this, but I want to hear everybody's conclusions and how they got there, and we can all decide for ourselves whether we think space is gay and fake or not. I think it's definitely gay. I'm up in the air as to whether it's fake or not. There's something up there, so I don't think it's entirely fake, but fucking gay as shit if you look at the stars at night. I mean, and then go so faggy, so fucking.
There's that fag talk we talked about.
All right, Juan, thanks so much for coming on. We'll let you go. I know it's late over where you are, and we just appreciate your time. And it's been a while. It was nice catching up with you. Is there anything you want to tell the faggots out there before you head out?
Faggots.
No, I'm pretty good. You can find my stuff. Just Google Juan podcast, and you'll stumble across something. and the 1,000 episodes of me talking about homunculus or whatever it is. And I talk about other stuff, you know, other interesting things. So, yeah, you can find me on the internet somewhere if you'd like.
He's not a one-trick pony. You heard that, okay, people? He doesn't. But
thank
just
you guys for having me on again. This is fun.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, dude, so much.
Thanks, everybody. We will talk to you next time. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Legit Bad. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.